Ghoulish greetings, everyone. Tunes are a courtesy of the amazing Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift. Whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from desolate desert to the biggest of cities that never sleep, and of course everything in between, it is greatly appreciated. This week's special city shoutouts go to North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, Elkton, Maryland, Liver's Edge, England, Ozark, Alabama, Jasonville, Indiana, and Mentor, Ohio. As always, super appreciated, everybody. Now we dive right into a mini-series of Bermuda Triangle, where many have gone and are never seen again. Known as the Devil's Triangle, countless people have breathed their last breath here. It's a large section of the North Atlantic Ocean running between Puerto Rico, Bermuda, and Miami. While the exact distance cannot be agreed upon or known, the Bermuda Triangle is anywhere from 500,000 to over 1.5 million square miles. While accurate numbers may be unknown, at least 20 aircraft and at least 50 watercrafts have vanished with their occupants, of course, many without a trace. The numbers are believed to be much, much higher, though. Some people have experienced lost time while traveling through here. Compasses go haywire, steering many in wrong and at times, fatal directions. An interesting fact here is that the deepest point in the Atlantic Ocean, known as the Milwaukee Depth, is part of the Bermuda Triangle, part of the Puerto Rico Trench, reaching a depth of a whopping 27,493 feet. Ay, Chihuahua! In these episodes, I will be talking about incidents of aircrafts, watercrafts, and people just simply disappearing. This is obviously not a full list, but the research into the Bermuda Triangle took me quite a while, and just when I thought I would be done, I would find something else, and I just kept adding to the notes. So it became a series instead of just one episode. So let's dive deep and pray that we do not vanish without a trace ourselves, deep into the Bermuda Triangle. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Yeah, there's a reason why I'm not a singer, but you get my drift. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Okay, I'll stop. I don't want to lose any listeners here. You know, odd happenings have been taking place in this area for centuries, dating back to at least the late 1400s. When Christopher Columbus was navigating through the area in 1492, and he notices that, hey, my trustworthy compass is going absolutely bonkers, haywire, just up shit's creek, what's happening here? He then went to witness what he first thought was stars, but then he knew they were not when they just started to move sporadically around the sky. Okay, there's such things as shooting stars, but no, this isn't that. Like, this is just weird, right? MarineInsight.com gives more detail about this. Quote, he saw a light similar to a candle flame moving up and down in the distance. He asked his crew members to look at the light. It appeared and reappeared several times. The most eerie thing he saw was a glowing object coming out of water and heading towards the sky. Many people believe it could have been a UFO. while others think it could be light from another vessel, unquote. In 1780, General Gates, a United States warship, vanishes within the Bermuda Triangle and has never been seen again. Now, it's important to mention that no British warships claimed to the sinking of General Gates. I mean, and that was a big thing. Like, you know, they claimed their prize. Like, oh yes, I did this and I'm proud of it. But no, no claimings to what happened to the General Gates. And its disappearance remains a mystery to this very day. In September of 1799, a 36-gun French-built warship known as USS Insurgent, plumb full with a crew of 340, vanishes without a trace, never to be heard from again. And just like General Gates, its disappearance remains a mystery. And again, 340 souls taken to their watery grave. We now find ourselves in the 1800s. August 20th, 1800. The USS Pickering was a 77-foot topsail brig, and it was 187 imperial tons, leaving Newcastle, Delaware, with 91 people on board, and it's never seen again. The U.S. Naval Institute shared that the Pickering was, quote, loaned to the Navy at the outbreak of the quasi-war with France. She headed to the West Indies and conducted a successful campaign in the Greater Antilles. There, she captured or retook 15 vessels, including French privateers and captured American ships. A December 1800 newspaper story notes that a merchant vessel sailing through the area after the hurricane had passed reported a large copper-bottomed brig with a quarter boards and a range of ports was seen bottom upwards. That was likely the Pickering, but no definite proof was available, and the exact cause and location of the loss of the brig remain unknown. Unquote. October 9th, 1814. Sadly, the USS Wasp would meet its fate the very same year it would be commissioned. During its very short time of existence, it brutally pummeled British shipping in the War of 1812. This 509-ton vessel was a 117-foot sloop of warship that served for the United States Navy. It left Brazil and was en route to England and believed to be caught in a storm and never seen again. At the time of its disappearance, 140 people were on board. U.S. Naval Institute shares, quote, the Wasp never returned home, however, and it was soon apparent after the War of 1812 and that the ship had never been captured, but had simply vanished at sea, perhaps victim of the storm, unquote. Regarding the USS Wasp, Teddy Roosevelt was quoted saying,
how she perished, none ever knew. All that is certain is she will never be seen again.
October 28, 1824. The USS Wildcat was a 48-ton, two-masted schooner that was purchased by the Navy in 1822. She would be lost at sea 2 years later. Niles Weekly Register shares this, quote, there is now very little doubt that the U.S. schooner Wildcat, long missing, was lost. Probably she went ashore near Carey's Ford Reef, about which her arm, chest, and sea have been found, and that everyone on board perished, unquote. When the USS Wildcat went missing, 31 people were on board. In 1824, two schooners would go missing, the schooner Lynx, which had 40 men on board, and the schooner Hornet. The number of people on board I could not find for the Hornet. March of 1843. Grampus was a 97-foot U.S. Navy warship, also known as Riso's Dolphin. and she vanishes after sailing south of the Carolinas. It's believed by many that she went down somewhere near Charleston, South Carolina. The last form of communication was on March 15, 1843. Like the Hornet, I could not find a total of people that was on board, but it is said that the Grampus usually had 142 officers on board. We now find ourselves in 1854, and the SS City of Glasgow, who had conducted 5 successful voyages from Glasgow to New York City, finds herself on, unbeknownst to her, her final voyage. The SS City of Glasgow was a single-screw iron-hulled passenger steamship, leaving Liverpool for their voyage on March 1, 1854, and en route to Philadelphia. They are taking the southern route, carrying 400 passengers and 80 crew members, when it simply vanishes. Wiki is more specific when it comes to the people on board. Quote, there were 111 cabin and saloon passengers, and 293 in steerage. Her crew was 76 captain and 4 officers, 1 surgeon, 1 purser, 4 engineers, 6 firemen, 5 coal trimmers, 19 stewards and waiters, and 1 stewardess, 1 quartermaster, and 30 able seamen, unquote. Her sister's ship, known as the City of Manchester, while leaving from Philadelphia around that same time, had encountered several icebergs. Manchester herself would meet her fate by wrecking 22 years after her sister ship, City of Glasgow, and Manchester would go down in Burma. Months after City of Glasgow's disappearance, in October of the very same year, that being 1854, a large part of the bow from a ship with the name City of Glasgow would surface, washing ashore. Now, mind you, there was another ship named City of Glasgow, so it's unsure if it is our missing passenger steamship with almost 500 people on board or another ship. Its whereabouts and what happened exactly to it remain quite the mystery. But again, Manchester did go through some pretty bad waters with the icebergs, so maybe it met that fate and hit an iceberg. Who knows? But very, very sad. Hundreds of people just gone in this one incident alone. March 6th, 1878. The HMS Eurydice was a 26-gun Royal Navy corvette. The Eurydice sets sail from Royal Naval Dockyard, which is located in Bermuda, and is en route to Portsmouth. But sadly, she never makes it. It sailed from Portsmouth on a 3-month journey to Bermuda. All is well on this trip. Nothing to write home about. But it's the return trip after leaving the Royal Naval Dockyard that things get dangerous. 3 weeks into her trip, she is caught in a horribly heavy snowstorm, capsizes, and sinks. 319 people were on board when this took place. Only 2 would survive. Somebody to bear witness to this disaster was a little boy, Winston Churchill. Not even 4 years old at the time that this happened. January 31st, 1880. The HMS Atalanta was a sail training ship that would set sail from Royal Naval Dockyard in Bermuda and on its way to England, but never makes it to its destination. It is believed that they were caught in a storm and sunk, taking 290 cadets to a watery grave. A former crew member shared that he himself personally saw the sail training ship, which he claimed to be overweight, roll beyond 32 degrees in heavy weather. A gunboat called the Avon was in the same area around that very same time that this was taking place and claimed to have seen a debris field. A wreckage of some sorts was seen floating in the water. What happened to the Atalanta remains a mystery to this very day. February of 1881. The Ellen Austin was a 1,812-ton, 210-foot-long, three-mast schooner. While she was grand in size, her reputation was anything but grand. An article was released about an event that took place February 19, 1857, and it was titled Brutality at Sea, and it reads this, quote, "Yesterday, Justice Clary was called upon to take the deposition of a sailor named Thomas Campbell, residing at number 188 2nd Street, who is now lying seriously ill from cruel and inhumane treatment on board the Liverpool packet ship Ellen Austin. Captain Garrick, on her outward trip on November last, on one occasion for a trifling or imaginary offense, Campbell was called into the after cabin, where the captain knocked him down with a rope. The mate, at the same time, threw a shawl over his head, held the man down with his knee upon his neck and head, preventing him from crying out by holding the shawl over his mouth. The captain then beat him over the back and shoulders, lacerating his body, and also inflicted two severe wounds over his head. Not satisfied with his own brutality, the captain set on two ferocious dogs, who tore and mutilated his legs. Campbell was a thorough seaman, about 40 years of age, quite intelligent, and of respectable appearance. He was one of the number on board the Three Bells, and assisted in reaching the soldiers from the wreck of San Francisco, for which he received a medal from the merchants of New York. Since his return, he has been compelled to pawn the medal in order to provide the necessaries of life for his family. A warrant has been issued for the arrest of the captain and the mate." Unquote. Well, that's just absolutely god-awful. And how unprofessional. Whatever this man, who, remember, was respectful and hardworking, and a hero saving several lives in San Francisco and getting a medal for it, whatever he did, the punishment was not appropriate, to say the least, I'm sure. You beat this man, 2-1, then have two dogs attack him as well. This is absolutely a disgusting and cowardice act, in my opinion. Not only should these two men responsible for these heinous acts have lost their titles and positions, but they should have been heavily fined and sentenced to prison. Be someone's prison bitch for a little while. But it seems like a slap at the back of the hand was the only thing that happened to these two idiots, as a few months later, it still showed Garrick, sadistic and all, as being captain of the Ellen Austin. A few months after the severe beating of Thomas Campbell, the notorious Ellen Austin makes headlines once again after a case of smallpox plagues the schooner. And months after the first outbreak takes place, still in 1857, mind you, smallpox visits the Ellen Austin once more. The year of 1857, well, I think it's safe to say, was plumb full of activity. Two outbreaks of smallpox, one severe beating to a man who probably did not deserve an ounce of it, and God knows what else happened. These were just documented cases. And just a few short years later, in 1860, accusations of abuse surface once again. Shocker, shocker. Claiming that the vessel's own officers were accused of attacking a passenger, tying this individual's arms and legs together, and passing a stick between them before, quote, "rolling him along the deck like a bale of goods," unquote. Meanwhile, in another case, second mate Frederick Hodges is accused of badly beating a passenger. What happened with the Ellen Austin next? Well, it would be shrouded in mystery. Legend has it, the story goes that while en route on what would be their final voyage, unbeknownst to them, of course, as a full crew at least, the Ellen Austin would come upon an abandoned ship. The ship, mind you, which was still very seaworthy, was found to be abandoned. Now, part of the Ellen Austin crew goes on board this nameless ship, and everything seems in working order. There's the food rations, people's personal belongings, and what have you. Well, that's all still on board. What was missing, however, was the logbook the captain would have kept. This wasn't like, oh, maybe they had this. No, there would have been a logbook for the captain, and it was nowhere to be seen. And oddly enough, the nameplate of the ship was taken off, just adding to the mystery, of course. Another thing that oddly was missing was the sign of any human life. Not one single person was found to be on board the ship. Well, it was decided that this ship would be brought back to New York, where the Ellen Austin was headed. Some of the crew would follow, but during a bad storm, they would unfortunately get separated from one another. This mysterious ship and the Ellen Austin, both occupied with Ellen Austin crew. It wouldn't be until days later when the Ellen Austin finds this mysterious ship. But to their horror, the ship was once again vacant. Their men, missing. Never to be seen again. Today I talked about several different ships and their disappearances. General Gates, USS Pickering, USS Wasp, USS Wildcat, Schooner Lynx, Schooner Hornet, Grampus, SS City of Glasgow, HMS Eurydice, HMS Atalanta, and the mysterious encounter that the Ellen Austin experienced, which resulted in the loss of some of her crew. The death count for these alone is a whopping 1,729 people. Obviously, it's much higher because there were four ships that did not share the amount of people that were on board. And again, these are just the cases I talked about. I'm sure there are some that were undocumented or some that I probably missed. And one of those ships, remember, usually had a crew of 142. That number, it's not included in this number. God, I just need to say that number one more time. 1,729 people just gone. 1,729 families heartbroken, having no answers what happened to their loved ones. Lost, vanished without a trace. And these people going to their graves, never knowing what happened to their loved ones. I hope you enjoyed part one in this mini series, The Bermuda Triangle. And a big voiceover shout out to Sean Curtis as Teddy Roosevelt. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? There's no need to fret or lose sleep over. I know, you could seriously fix this problem right away by binge listening to your heart's fright and delight by hitting up any of those podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Downcast, Deezer, Castbox. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. Thanks for stopping by, and be sure to capture part two in the Bermuda Triangle miniseries next Monday. Till then,
I will see you next week.